Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Sepsis is a life-threatening condition that occurs when the body's response to an infection causes widespread inflammation. It can lead to very serious consequences, organ failure, tissue damage, even death if not treated promptly. Well, to talk a little bit more about how it affects the body and the importance of early intervention, Dr. Maura Finn is with us, Ennis-based GP. Hello, Maura.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. We tend to hear a lot about sepsis, don't we? You know, people talk about it in hushed terms. But you might tell us in a little bit more detail what exactly it is.
Okay, well, first of all, it's rare. So I suppose I don't want to kind of really alarm too many people, but awareness around it is really important. So what sepsis is, it's always as a result of an infection. And in a normal situation, an infective organism enters the blood and your body recognises that and it tries to neutralise it. And that's done through white cells and other chemicals. And it's usually limited to the site of infection. You know, for instance, if somebody has a cellulitis or a tonsillitis, it's only the tonsils that are affected, or a urinary tract infection. But in rare occasions, the body's reaction to it can be completely controlled and it cascades into this abnormal inflammatory response that spreads throughout the body. And it is time sensitive and life threatening. And that's what's really important. So we need to kind of get the awareness out there that people would kind of say, if somebody has an infection and they're getting worse, is it sepsis? That's what has to be in our clinical minds, but also in the minds of the public as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, people might have seen yesterday and reported in the papers today about from an inquest about how a dog licking a wound caused an infection, which may have led to sepsis. It can be as simple as that, can it?
It can. I mean, it will always start as some form of infection, and the most common places would be respiratory, urinary, or skin. And if your skin integrity is somehow broken down through chronic eczema or psoriasis or something like that, anything that can cause a bacteria to enter through the skin, through that broken skin, can cause an infection. Now, again, it's rare, and I suppose most often it will be localized and you'll present to a doctor and you'll be treated and everything will be fine. But it can become this cascade effect where it becomes life-threatening, and time is so important in that situation, and that the timely interventions save lives.
Mm-hmm. Just some questions coming in. A listener wanting to know if sepsis is the same thing as blood poisoning.
More or less it is, actually, because septicemia is when you have an infection and it's in the blood. So it's in the emia, which is what means the blood. And it doesn't always cause this kind of catastrophic cascade of inflammatory response, but it's a very life-threatening situation as well. So they are akin to each other. And if somebody has septicemia, they need early intervention. They need IV antibiotics. They need oxygen. They need IV fluids as well. And that's the major thing with anything around sepsis. You have to have that suspicion. And then what you do is what they say is they take three and give three. So you take blood samples to see is there bacteria in the blood. You take a measure of urine output and you take lactate levels. These are kind of a specific chemical that actually isn't associated with an inflammatory response. And you do that as soon as you can possibly do it. And then you give IV fluids, you give oxygen and you give antibiotics to treat the specific organism.
So when you're diagnosing sepsis, you're taking that test of the blood cultures, checking for bacteria in the blood, as you have described there, but also urinary output. So why is that important to monitor?
Because if you have a sepsis, or if you have kind of a person who's developing this kind of cascade effect, they will have multi-organs that are affected, and your urine output is a sign of health. And if your urine output is decreasing and or almost disappearing, it's either a sign of severe dehydration or shock. And it means that there isn't enough blood perfusing through the kidneys to make urine. The other things that you would look for are blood pressure. Your blood pressure tends to drop significantly because, again, the blood is not able to perfuse through your body. High temperatures or very low temperatures are actually also signs that we would look for. Rapid breathing, And what's very important is there can be the kind of those like softer signs like being sleepy or fatigued or confused or an altered state. They're a real sign that people need to actually act very quickly. Mm-hmm. And I've had the occasion of seeing a few people in this situation, and they'll often be so scared because they feel so dreadfully unwell. So know that you are your own best advocate. And actually, if you are in any way concerned or you're concerned about a family member, make sure you look for help really quickly, because every minute counts when it comes to sepsis.
The treatment then is antibiotics immediately, is it?
Yes, as soon as you can. And very frequently, you don't know. So you're going to go with a broad spectrum antibiotic. You're not sure which bacteria it is. You could have a clinical suspicion about it. You know, if you've identified that it's coming from a skin lesion, you'll go with one type of bacteria. If you've identified it's coming from a urinary issue, you'll try a different one. So you treat with broad spectrum antibiotics while you're waiting for the blood cultures that tell you the particular antibiotic to use to come back. But also that supportive treatment is really important. The IV fluids and the oxygen as well, to kind of make sure that the brain is kept healthy and there's enough oxygen circulating to keep that person from having catastrophic effects from the sepsis.
I have a listener here who got sepsis following a procedure in hospital a few years ago. They say, I started hallucinating in the middle of the night, which speaks to what you were saying there about confusion. I had to be transferred to another hospital for specialist treatment for a CPE blood infection, which I'm sure makes sense to you, Maura. But they were in hospital for 6 weeks on 24-hour round-the-clock antibiotics.
Wow. I mean, and that person was probably in a very high intensity or ICU or high dependent care. So that would have been hugely exhausting, probably left some very serious effects from the point of view of kind of recovery. It takes weeks, if not months, to recover from an ICU stay. But thankfully, they've recovered. And it would mean that you would probably have, she probably would have had like one round of antibiotics and then maybe another and another while they're waiting for the body to recover from this catastrophic infection. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, they've made a recovery. And you see, post-operatively, you're quite... you're a little bit more vulnerable because you've had an operation. So there's an incision and there's a wound area. You're also immunosuppressed because you're tired and your body is trying to recover. So that would be one of the real red flags that we would look for. If somebody's coming in and they're very unwell and they've had surgery in the last 2 or 3 weeks, it's something we have to think about.
I have a listener who is in their 70s and has had sepsis twice. And the question is, am I at greater risk now of getting it again?
Unfortunately, yes. And we're not entirely sure why, whether that it's because the sepsis causes an immunosuppression. Is it because of whatever morbidities were there to begin with that caused that person to get sepsis are still there and still causing, they're still making them immunosuppressed? Or is it the fact that they've been thrown so many antibiotics as well to try and fight the sepsis on those two occasions? So unfortunately they are. So what I would recommend is that, you know, you just are always have it in the back of your mind. If you have an infection, if you're not recovering in a reasonable time frame, just be aware and make sure that you check on it and say to your doctor or in A&E or wherever that you've had sepsis before. And that person will recognise the signs as well, of course, having been through it twice before.
Here's another interesting one. Anthony would like us to discuss sepsis in a nursing home setting, especially with the treatment of bed sores.
Yeah, well, a bed sore, can you imagine? It's kind of a broken area of skin. You've got somebody who's older and more likely frail, and they're going to be more immunosuppressed, more vulnerable to infection. Also in nursing homes, you might have somebody with an indwelling catheter, which is something to help them kind of if they can't actually manage to use to void urine properly. And that's a source of infection as well. So it is actually... one of the things that we'd be very heightened aware of, and the carers in nursing homes would be aware of it too. If somebody, you know, again, if they were a little bit confused, it might be harder to assess their kind of mental state and whether there is an altered state there. But they, what they will be looking for are those kind of like prolonged low or high temperatures, low blood pressure, a change in them, a change in their colouring. They might have gotten very pale, very mottled, or have become confused when they weren't before. So it is something that we treat really aggressively, and very, what would happen in that situation is the patient would be transferred to a hospital situation.
Now, we have a few people getting in touch asking about the links between cellulitis and sepsis. Maura, you might just explain what's going on there and how the two things interact.
Okay, so cellulitis is an infection under the top layer of the skin. So you've had some way the skin integrity has been broken, be it through a cut or, like I say, chronic eczema, you know, where it cracks because it's so dry, or psoriasis or some other form, or maybe even a puncture wound from something like taking bloods or post-infection. So the skin integrity has been broken, and as a result, the bacteria can enter and can cause what's called a spreading cellulitis. And people will have seen this where they had like a little cut and it was just fine, and then it got redder and a bit more swollen, and this the redness will spread around. And what we often do is draw a line around what we identify as the cellulitis on the first presentation, and then check it either a few hours or the next day to see if it has spread. If it's spreading, they require IV antibiotics. And very often that's all that's needed. However, it can, especially if you're more vulnerable, it may develop into a sepsis, where it's that abnormal inflammatory response to the infection that the antibiotics and your own personal immune system isn't actually enough to take hold. And again, if somebody has a cellulitis and they're getting worse, you'd have to have a very high index of suspicion. It's a time when you go, is this sepsis? Could it be? And you go and you present to A&E if necessary, you know, because time is of the essence. They say that for every hour that somebody has sepsis, there's an increased mortality of about 10%. So it really is so important to have timely intervention.
Now, a listener who's had a bad morning so far is this person who dropped a pair of shears on their foot this morning. The metal pierced the skin. Ooh. They were clean, but they want to know, probably now from listening to us more this morning, do they need a tetanus injection in case of any infection?
Well, absolutely. If they haven't had a tetanus within 10 years, yes, they should. But a tetanus is only going to help prevent one thing, which is tetanus infection. You know, the first thing you do with any cut is clean it as much as you can. This is what I always, my kids are in the surgery, it's always wash it. First thing you do is put it under water, as opposed to what people often do is actually kind of put a plaster on it straight away.
Yeah,
but in fact, you're then maybe actually covering.
So clean it.
Yes, exactly.
Clean it is what you do.
Is actually,
and a tetanus. I'm going to have to leave it there, but that's good advice for that listener, Maura, to finish on. Not at all. Thank you so much for your time, for being with us. That's Dr. Maura.